You're walking down the street and a woman wearing a uniform stops you and asks you where you're going. What makes you answer is that this is a policewoman who has the authority to keep law and order in the street. So this policewoman, you stop, you take it seriously, you answer the policewoman. And then when you get home, the grown-ups in the room, in the house, they say hello to you and they say, lay the table for tea. Put the cutlery out on the table. And it's your dad and mum or grandparent or someone who cares for you where you live. And they also have authority over you. They're responsible for you. You're responsible to them. And then after tea, you turn on the television and there's Boris Johnson. And he's telling you the latest developments with the virus. And what we can and can't do, what we can and can't do in school, where we can go, where we can't go, the people we can meet on the inside of our homes, the people we have to meet on the outside. As our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson has authority. Think about it. We understand authority, why it's needed, how it works. We recognize authority when we see it. We understand the different kinds of authority. What a policeman can and can't do, our parents, our government. And this morning we're going to see the authority that Jesus has. The authority he has in what he says and in what he does. Here's the main point that Luke wants us to see this morning. Jesus speaks and acts with authority. Obey and trust him. Jesus speaks and acts with all authority. Obey and trust him. So let's look at that quickly together. Jesus speaks with authority. Obey him. So remember where we finished last week? The people of Jesus' hometown had not been willing to listen to Jesus' words, to see themselves as poor and needy, in need of the Lord's mercy and favor. In fact, they're so annoyed with Jesus that they want to throw him off a cliff. They want to kill him. So we read in chapter 4, and it would be great if you could have that open in your Bibles. You might have brought them with you if you're here in this room or at home. Open your Bible. So Luke chapter 4 and verse 31. And we read, this is what Luke recounts next. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching. Listen, here we go. Because his words had authority. So Jesus travels to a fishing village. The village would have been filled with merchants and builders and fishermen, and as was their custom, they gather on the Sabbath in the synagogue, and Jesus is there teaching, and the people we just read are amazed with his authority. You see, the other preachers and teachers, when they read a part of the Old Testament, they would read it out, and then they would read what other people had to say. This rabbi said this on the passage. This rabbi said this. But Jesus, he does none of that. He speaks his own words, and they are full of authority. Remember what we saw a couple of weeks ago when Jesus was in a synagogue and the sermon that he preached there, he read from Isaiah. If you look across the page, you'll see the quotation marks. Can you see it? That little passage that talks about the Spirit of the Lord being on me, proclaiming good news to the poor. This is the beginning of chapter 4. Freedom for prisoners, sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And after quoting Isaiah, Jesus says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your sight. Jesus says, I am the fulfillment. What words, what authority, the promises of God, the word of God coming from the mouth of Jesus. The promises of God fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But as Jesus went about preaching and teaching like this, he didn't just keep repeating that Isaiah sermon over and over. Look at the end of our reading today. Look at verse 43, the small number 43 in chapter 4. Right at the end we read, but Jesus said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. If you want a four-word summary of the authoritative message of Jesus, it's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. This is the first time that Luke uses that phrase in his account. He's going to use it another 37 times in his gospel. Jesus' message is about establishing a kingdom where God rules over a people who know him and love him, who serve him forever and ever in Jesus Christ. It's a kingdom that Jesus will begin, and one day at the end of history, a kingdom that Jesus will complete, will bring in all its fullness. And it's good news because right now we live in a very different kind of kingdom. We live in a place of pandemics and pain, of conflict and anger, of fear and anxiety. And these physical realities in our lives are meant to point us to the spiritual poverty and oppression that we all live under. And the way that Jesus makes this new kingdom, this new world, is by making new people. By changing us from the inside so that we are fit and ready to live in a new world of perfect life and joy and freedom and peace. In the gospel accounts, Jesus teaches and preaches about this kingdom and the way into it and life in it with the authority of the Son of God, the Holy One of God. Now, you know, when a teacher in school speaks with authority. Imagine a teacher in school, say class four, and the teacher in school in class four says, right, class four, stop talking, put your pens down, and look at the smart board. Now the teacher over class four certainly has authority, but everyone in year four at that moment has to decide whether to submit to the teacher's authority. Will they obey or will they refuse to obey? Will they put their pens down, stop talking, look at the board, or won't they? And if they refuse to obey, the kids in year four know there will be consequences. There will be punishment. You see, rejecting the authority of the teacher doesn't stop the teacher being in charge. And so it is with us. Jesus has all authority. He speaks the words of God. He is the King of God's kingdom. He does rule. So the question is this morning, how will we respond to Jesus? Will we hear his words and obey them, submit to them? Or will we refuse? You see, many of the people who were listening to Jesus in the synagogue, they were amazed. They were amazed by Jesus' words. They were moved by them. But they did nothing about it. And that is like so many of us. We might read the Bible, listen to a sermon, have a conversation with someone about Jesus, be really challenged, be really convicted. We might even agree with everything that is said. Notice that. Not just know about what Jesus says, but agree with it, and yet refuse to submit to his rule and obey his word. To say, Jesus, you are the king. Don't let that be you today. And that is also true of those who do follow Jesus, those of us who do follow him. There can be areas in our lives where we know God's word to us in Christ. We know what it says, part of the Bible that has corrected us. The small group Bible study where we were really convicted. Our consciences were really moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Take money for an example. We know what the Bible says about money. To be generous, not to build up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven. To give and give generously to the work of God. And yet we fail to respond to what God is saying. We do not submit to God's word in our lives. Don't just be amazed at Jesus this morning. Obey him. Don't just be in awe of what Jesus says. Submit to him. This is what Jesus calls every one of us listening to do today. Jesus speaks with authority. Obey him. We need to come to Dr. Jesus to listen to what he says about himself, what he says about us, and obey. So we're thinking about this part of Luke's gospel where we see Jesus speak and act with complete authority and the call to obey and trust him. We thought about Jesus speaking with authority, obey him. And now let's see Jesus act with authority, trust him. Jesus acts with authority, trust him. Imagine a parent says to their little 2-year-old son, Tommy, "Tommy, stop whacking your sister over the head with a Lego. If you do that again, I'm going to come over there and there'll be trouble." So Tommy looks at his parent and looks at his sister and then whacks her over the head with a Lego. So the parent says it again, "Tommy, stop whacking your sister over the head with the Lego. If you do that again, I'm going to come over there, take the Lego off you, and there'll be trouble." So Tommy looks at his parent, looks at his sister, and whacks his sister over the head with a Lego. And that goes on and on. On and on. Now what's happening? This is what's happening. Tommy has learned that though this grown-up speaks with authority, they don't act with authority. Their words aren't backed up by their actions. Now Jesus has been teaching and preaching with authority. He's been speaking about the kingdom of God and the good news, freedom, sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed, deliverance. And in this account we see Jesus not just speaking, but he acts with authority. He demonstrates it. Look at what happens here in the synagogue as he's teaching. In your Bibles, look at verse 33. This is amazing. Jesus is preaching a sermon here, and this is what happens. Luke 4:33. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out of him without injuring him. All the people, here we go again, look, all the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words they are! With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." The Bible is really clear about the existence of Satan and demons. Those who have power to possess people even, who open up their lives to their influence and power. In the reign of Jesus, it seems that this demonic activity was especially strong. The demon in this man was standing up to God and his ways. The Bible describes Satan as the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the god of this age, who blinds the minds of unbelievers to stop them seeing the glory and wonder of Christ. And here stands Jesus in the synagogue with the authority of God, speaking about the kingdom of God, freedom for the captives. And this demon cries out in anger, rebellion, "Go away." He tries to assert his authority over Jesus. "Why are you here? Who do you think you are? We know who you are, the Holy One of God." Perhaps the demon thought that by naming Jesus, revealing his identity, this would give him some kind of power. He kind of some kind of ownership over Jesus. "I revealed your identity. I know who you are." It is amazing, isn't it, to see here that the demonic demon knows who Jesus is. He is God. So Jesus, who speaks with authority, now acts with authority. At that time, freeing someone from the demonic would have involved for people saying some prayers and some incantations, saying some words, trying to wave their arms around. Here in verse 35, do you see it in verse 35? Jesus commands the demon to be quiet. Our translation adds, Jesus says it sternly. The word is rebuked. He rebuked the demon for this invasion. And look what happens. Straight away, the man is freed. Jesus is disarming the enemy. He has total power over the demonic enemy. When he confronts the enemy, evil, this isn't a 50-50, will Jesus win? Won't he? We don't know. It's not a kind of 9 times out of 10. 9 times out of 10, Jesus will prevail, but 100% of the time, Jesus is victorious. He has complete authority over evil, the powers, authorities in the heavenly realm. Now, of course, there is mystery to how Jesus exercises this. He still allows the existence of evil and the work of the demonic, but all under his sovereign rule. There is mystery here, but there is also complete authority. And we see the same authority displayed in verse 38. Look at verse 38. Jesus left the synagogue, went to the home of Simon. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. Look at verse 39. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. After synagogue, it was common for people to go home and share in a meal. And Jesus does this at a guy's house called Simon. Luke, the doctor, tells us that Simon's mother-in-law had a high fever. This was particularly severe. It was life-threatening. But the fever gets the same treatment as the demon. Jesus rebukes it, and it leaves. The transformation is instant. From lying captivated to sickness, she immediately gets up and starts serving. This is the freeing, the restoring, the rescuing that Jesus has come to do. Actually, in this incident, we see an example of the transformation he brings. This woman who was lying sick is now raised up and serves Jesus. This is what Jesus does for us. He raises us up to serve him. Now, the news of Jesus' authority displayed in rescuing the possessed and the sick spreads rapidly. Luke tells us in verse 40, do you see verse 40? He heals many people who come to him, freeing more from sickness and possession. And it's not just the words of Jesus that heal and rescue. Verse 41, look how sweet and tender verse 41 is. Jesus, laying his hands on each one, healed them. At the time of Jesus, in the Old Testament, this touching the unwell was practically unknown. No one did it. Everyone knew that if you touched someone who was sick, you became unclean. You became contaminated. But not with Jesus. Rather than Jesus becoming unclean from those he touches, those he touch become clean. This authority to heal, to restore and free, is not some kind of spiritual power or mystical force. This authority is the person and work of Jesus Christ, who with tenderness and compassion heals and restores. We're meant to see the person of Jesus here and love and trust in him. To trust him that no matter how strong the devil may be, Christ is stronger still. And not a little bit stronger. I mean an ant compared to an elephant stronger. I mean a snowflake looking at Mount Everest stronger. We fear no evil because in Christ we have one who rules over all. To trust in Jesus, no matter how serious and threatening suffering and sickness might be. When we or one of our loved ones are lying on a bed of sickness, like Simon's mother-in-law, it is worrying. It is an anxious time when we're unwell, physically, mentally. Right now, that's the case with one of the members of our church. James spoke about him earlier, one of our elders. But we pray for the family. We pray as a church family that we will know that Jesus reigns. That we will trust in that today. Jesus has full authority over sickness. Now this does not mean that Jesus will heal all our sicknesses. all our diseases? He may sometimes, but not always. The healing ministry of Jesus is meant to point forward to the coming kingdom of God that one day will be brought in all its fullness. It's the coming kingdom of God that we're being prepared for. We're helping each other towards a place where there will be no more sin or suffering or sickness. Though we might not be healed now, we fear no evil. We fear no sickness because we know that Jesus will either save us from death or through death. Brothers and sisters in the room this morning, friends listening online, this surely is true for the pandemic. As we think about this pandemic and the worries and anxieties, we ultimately fear no evil and fear no virus. We want to be wise with our lives and careful. We want to listen to what the government says. But our ultimate authority, our ultimate trust is Jesus Christ. He rules. He reigns. And in this time, we want our witness to him to be clear and obvious in how we respond to the virus, the hope and the trust that we have in Christ. Jesus acts with authority. He has all authority. We can trust him with our lives in the midst of evil, in the midst of sickness. We trust in Christ. What a day that we have considered. By the way, everything we've just talked about, the demon possessed, the sick, this town, the synagogue, this all happened on one day, one Saturday. What an amazing Saturday. Imagine if you've been there. We've kind of been in the synagogue. We've watched this demon possessed man get healed. We've gone then, we've listened to Jesus speak about the kingdom of God. We've gone to Simon's house. We've seen what happened to his mum-in-law. We then see the whole town come. What an amazing thing. Just think of being there. But what is the thing that we should most see? What should be the thing that should most grip our hearts? Freedom from evil? Freedom from sickness? No. The thing that should most grip our hearts is Jesus. Luke wants us to see Jesus and to hear his words and obey and to see what he does and trust in him. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray that, Lord. We pray that we would, from your word, from the Bible this morning, see and hear Jesus speak with complete authority. And that, Father, as we hear Jesus and as we see him, our hearts would respond in obedience, loving obedience and trust in Christ and all that he is. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as a church family, as we finish here in this room and online, a little reminder that a week Tuesday, I think it's November the 2nd or 3rd, one of those, Tuesday the 2nd or Tuesday the 3rd, we have a members meeting. We haven't had a members meeting as a church for a long time. It'll all be online and we'll let you know more about that in due course. So that's just a little reminder of a members meeting coming up. As we finish, let's pray one more time. So, Father, we thank you for this day that you have made. And we pray, O Lord, that we would rejoice in it and be glad in it. We pray, Heavenly Father, we would submit to the loving reign and rule of Jesus in it. Father, we thank you for King Jesus. And we pray now, Lord, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.